The world seems to be groping for answers to the problems of our nation's youth. Now, these are problems for which parents and teachers often take the heat. But is that fair? Is it accurate? Could we merely be reflections or maybe even victims of a culture that's shaped largely by a worldview that no longer submits itself to the moral principles and mandates that are found in Scripture? A culture that no longer reads and therefore knows Scripture. Well, today we're going to fast forward a few years and look at a world now in moral darkness caused by biblical ignorance. That's today on Licensed to Parent. Hello, and welcome once again to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long residential program for teens in crisis. Our goal, to put ourselves out of business by teaching you to be the kind of parent God designed you to be so that your teens won't end up needing our help, and it all starts at home. And Trace, I know we've said many times that if more of us would commit to and submit to the parenting principles and the mandates that we find in the Bible, the way we raised our kids would probably look a lot different today.
Yeah, and our kids would look and act a lot different, too. They'd be more respectful, more obedient, and generally speaking, more innocent, more rested, more informed, more secure, wiser, and in general, Rich, a lot healthier.
I was thinking you were about to do the Boy Scout pledge, but keep going.
And by healthier, I mean emotionally, spiritually, intellectually, and even physically.
Yeah.
And not only that, parents would be too.
Absolutely.
But the problem is that it's hard to commit and submit to a document you know little or nothing about.
Right.
And it doesn't help when we've been overworked, overindulged, and overcommitted. And oversaturated with a media and a culture, Rich, that marginalizes, even belittles and ridicules the credibility of Scripture.
Absolutely. Well, our point today is to try to bring up this topic of ignorance to the Bible, of too much adherence to culture, and try to get us, as parents especially, parents, teachers, adult leaders in the world, to try to get this thing turned around. And our guest today is going to help with some of that. He's going to help sort out this big problem. His name is Tim Barton, and so we're laying this all on Tim today. Tim is a speaker for Wall Builders, which is a great organization. It's a national pro-family organization that presents America's forgotten history and heroes. And there's an emphasis on our religious, our moral, and our constitutional heritage. Wall Builders has been recognized from coast to coast for its work in education and in history, law, and public policy. And they integrate the elements that we like to talk about here, the elements of biblical faith and morality throughout all aspects of American life and culture. Tim is also an ordained minister, and he and his wife, Gabby, live in Weatherford, Texas.
Well, Tim, welcome to the Licensed to Parent broadcast, brother. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you guys today.
Listen, before we get started, tell us what you want us to know about Wall Builders, parents, churches, and schools in particular, and how they can take advantage of Wall Builders as a tool for themselves and for their kids.
Absolutely. Well, we've been very blessed at Wall Builders. We have over 100,000 original documents from the founding era that predate 1812. And so we've got all these documents, these manuscripts, these proclamations and letters and sermons, and we've actually loaded a lot of them online so people can go and see and read these original documents for themselves. And what we discover is that the more you know history, the more you see the vital elements that played a part in their philosophies and their worldview. Mm-hmm. And what you see is that religion and morality were the undergirthing and undergirding of everything that happened in our nation.
Sure.
And so that's really kind of the heart and drive of what we do at Wall Builders, is getting people to understand back to where we came from and what it was that made us successful.
Why is that so hard for people in our day to figure that out?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that history, the way we tell history, has changed a lot. In fact, most of the time when we talk about religion and history today, people want to throw out the separation of church and state and so many different things. And really, these things are thrown out in ignorance because people not knowing history, they don't understand, for instance, that prior to 1815, there were over 1,400 official government calls to prayer for days of fasting or days of Thanksgiving, where we're going to take time and honor God And people today would go, wait a second, you can't do that. That's a separation of church and state. And we pause and say, now hang on. You're talking about the guys that wrote the Constitution, that wrote the Bill of Rights. They're the ones that did this. Mm-hmm. The phrase, the separation of church and state, came from Thomas Jefferson's letter that he wrote in 1802 January 1st, 1802, he wrote to a group of Baptists up in Connecticut. They expressed their concern that they were afraid that they were going to lose their religious liberties and freedoms. And he wrote them a letter back, and he says, guys, you don't need to worry about losing your religious liberties and freedoms. He says, we wrote a First Amendment that guarantees that Congress can't come and limit and restrict what you're doing. He says, the Constitution, with what we've done, we've erected a wall of separation between the church and the state, so your religious freedoms and liberties will forever be protected.
Well, we basically flipped it 180.
Right.
Separation of church and state was to keep the state out of the church, not the other way around. But is it true that you couldn't even hold public office at one time unless you were a member of a church in good standing? Is that a true statement?
That is very true. Actually, there was the First Amendment limits Congress from establishing a religion, but it was related to a federal religion, because at that time you had 13 states or 13. Basically, they were operating as 13 individual nations, and inside of those states or nations, as ultimately they were back then, they had qualifications for office. And in most of those states, qualifications for office was that you had to profess. That for Pennsylvania, for example, you had to profess that you believed in the Old and New Testament, that you believed the Bible was given by divine inspiration, that you believed Jesus was the Son of God, that you believed in the hereafter where you would give an account for all the things you did on earth. And ultimately, the reason they did this is because they understood if people don't acknowledge there's a God, they don't acknowledge that they're going to have accountability before God, they really don't have a basis of morality. Because without God, who you ultimately will one day be accountable for, what reason do people have to do the right thing if they can get away with doing the wrong thing?
Right.
And we understood in politics, 98% of what people do in politics, they do behind closed doors, and
right.
We never know.
That's true.
You can look at our nation. There's 13,000 bills that go before Congress on any given year. 13,000 bills. Most people can't name more than 5 or 10 bills that were discussed and debated all year long.
Yeah.
But we're talking about thousands upon thousands upon thousands right. of bills. Well, if we don't know what's going on, how do we know our guy's going to make the right decision?
Right.
Well, ultimately, we trust they have integrity. Well, one of the things the Founding Fathers pointed to, that the way we know someone will have integrity is if they acknowledge there's a God, and they acknowledge they will have to one day stand before him in judgment, because they will know that even if no man saw what they were doing, God did, and they'll have to answer before God in judgment. And so that motivates them to do the right thing, because they know even though they could get away with it in front of man, they can't get away with it in
That's
front of
right.
God. And by the way, that was the reason back in early court cases, atheists were not allowed to testify in court. Because
That's
they said, well, if you don't believe there's a God, then there's no reason that you would have to tell the truth. You could lie and not worry about it, because if you don't believe there's a God, you don't believe you have to give an account before him one day for your actions.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would not allow atheists to testify in court. Well, this is going back to the fact that we believe religion was so vital to the character and integrity of people, because it was the only absolute basis that you could point to for morality.
It's such a no-brainer that you'd think that more people would catch on, you know?
Absolutely. Now, there wasn't any kind of litmus test for a federal position to be part of a certain denomination, but for states, they did have religious qualifications, and not in all the states, and it wasn't denominationally affiliated necessarily, but they did want you to acknowledge that you believed in God and certain basic religious or Christian tenets.
Mm-hmm. Real quick, I did want to insert this quote from George Washington. This is just the start of a longer quote, but Washington is someone that certainly anybody in this country probably would have a lot of respect for, whether atheist or Christian or of any religious affiliation. But he said, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. So here we have our founding president saying that this is a no-brainer. These two have to be there. And in fact, I think in that quote or another one, he, even went on to say that without that, a country would fail.
Absolutely. That was actually his farewell address. And in the end of that farewell address, he went on and he said, "Let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion." And that's something that we hear today where people say, wait a second, we don't need to have the Bible in schools. We don't need to have religion in schools. We'll just teach our kids to be good kids. And Washington says, now you need to slow down when you think that. And here was his conclusion. He said, "The reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle." So Washington said reason, which we would say common sense, and experience, which would be history. Washington says reason and experience both show us that you're not going to maintain morality without religion. Mm-hmm. And that was given in his farewell address, considered the most significant political address ever given by any political leader. And he's explaining, without religion, guys, this nation is not going to work because everything we do is based on those principles.
And what did he mean by religion? Because he wasn't talking Buddhists, he wasn't talking Hindus or Muslims. Well, by religion, clarify to our listeners what he was talking about there.
Well, absolutely. Many of the founding fathers talked about this, and openly the religion that we're referring to is Christianity, but they would use the term religion because they tried to stay away from denominations. They come from Europe where the king had a specified denomination for his nation. And so they've always had government enforcing a specific domination. And so that's where we came to America. When we wrote the First Amendment, where it says Congress cannot establish a denomination, or they said no establishment of religion. Well, really we're referring to the fact that at the time the kings could make you be Catholic or make you be Anglican or whatever denomination they picked. And they said, look, in America, we're not going to let the government make us or have us to be a part of this religion that we didn't choose. Well, the religion, they were sects of Christianity is what we're referring to, denominations. And actually, the founding fathers, there's several guys, even presidents, that get into this that explained it very well. Mm-hmm. Guys like President Zachary Taylor, I think, is a great example. He actually... explaining kind of religion and Christianity, he actually talked about the Bible. And we know the Bible is connected, related to Christianity. It's what Christianity is built and established on. And President Zachary Taylor said, "The Bible is the best of all books. I wish it were in the hands of everyone. It is indispensable to the safety and permanence of our institutions." And that's, by the way, a pretty significant point that he says the Bible is indispensable to the safety and permanence of our institutions. Meaning, if you remove the Bible, that the institutions we've established will not work and they will not last. And you look at the problems we're dealing with now, well, we've removed those biblical principles. But he went on and explained that a free government cannot exist without religion and morals. And there cannot be morals without religion, nor religion without the Bible. So he connects the fact that when we're talking about religion, we're really talking about the Bible.
Sure.
And without the Bible, you can't have morals. And without morals, you can't have a free government. And this is what we understood for literally hundreds of years, is our nation is built on the idea of giving freedom to men. But if you give freedom to immoral people, they do immoral things.
Chaos.
And that's where government has to be big, and they have to come and solve all these problems. Well, the problems we're trying to solve is the immorality of man. Well, you can solve the immorality of man by teaching them the morals of the Bible. And this is what we understood for so long. In fact, President John Adams, he said that our Constitution was made only for a moral and a religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any others. And people look at our nation today, and all the things we list as problems, and all these issues, and people are talking about now, we need to change our Constitution and do a new Constitution, and all these problems. The problem isn't our Constitution. The problem is the hearts of man.
For a society that is full of garden variety heathens, communism may be the best government. But that's not where we started from.
And unfortunately, if you have immoral people, you know, we understood either people are either controlled from the inside or the outside. Mm-hmm. They're either controlled with the Bible or the bayonet. And that's where it is. If we're not going to have the Bible, the only other option is you have to have a dictator.
Right.
Because either people are controlled by submitting to the morals of the Bible and what God says, or you have to have somebody who's bigger and meaner and tougher and stronger to control everybody else, and that's where you have dictators, and that's where you have communism, because you have to have somebody else come and do this. The problem is you lose your freedom.
Right.
And one of the things that we understand is that we were created to be free. That was one of the things that we see from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, where even the Bible teaches where Jesus said, I've come that you may be free, that freedom is why I'm here. And Jesus specifically said freedom to the captives when he was quoting Isaiah. But freedom is one of the reasons Jesus came. And the problem is, freedom only works if you can agree to abide by a certain standard. Well, that standard was always the Bible. But now that we've removed the Bible and we say, wait a second, you can't have the Bible in schools. We can't teach kids the Bible. We wouldn't want them to know the stuff the Bible says. This is what the U.S. Supreme Court has said. This is now what atheists and secularists right. and really liberal extremists are saying. We don't want kids to know what the Bible or even the Ten Commandments. That would be so bad for them to know religion. Well, wait a second. Isn't it religion that taught don't steal and don't murder
right.
and don't commit adultery? I mean, the problems that we are dealing with now, you just take adultery, for example, where God was very clear that the sexual boundaries were inside of marriage, and it was one man and one woman. Well, now we have people saying, well, wait a second, you can't have what the Bible says because that's outdated. It's not really where we are anymore. That's too exclusive. And so now we have broken homes. Mm-hmm. We have broken families. We have the highest divorce rate that really our nation's ever seen. And by the way, it's just as high among Christians as it is non-Christians. We have more STDs. Back in the 60s, before we kicked the Bible out of schools, there were only six STDs in America. Mm-hmm. Now there's more than 27.
Well, the problem, Tim, is that the 60s started postmodern thought, and that redefined a lot of things, including terms. Terms like freedom. Freedom was never defined by our founding fathers as the freedom to do what you want. It was the freedom to do what you ought. But ought implied an absolute, and an absolute is the Bible that we're talking about right now. But practically speaking, unless religion is flat outlawed by those who hold public office, is it even possible to separate church and state entirely? I see that as an impossible task, because whoever in leadership is going to have a moral standard, a religious standard, if you will, and we're going to have to abide by that. Where am I going wrong here?
No, you're absolutely right. The problem is that too often people do not think clearly or thoroughly enough on issues, and really we're intellectually dishonest in a lot of issues.
That's true.
Where we pretend that Christianity is the only religion, but ultimately everybody follows their religion, mm-hmm. and that their religion is their worldview, what shapes the way they think, and it shapes and governs their behavior. And actually, we even say Christianity as a blanket term, but the problem is when we say Christianity even as a blanket term, it doesn't fit a lot of Christians, because Christianity used to mean doing what the Bible says, and now right. we have a lot of Christians not doing what the Bible says, but they follow their worldview, and everybody has a worldview, and that is their religion, and you cannot escape that religion or worldview. And so if for instance, you had someone who says, wait a second, we can't have Christianity in schools. Well, so now we have humanism, we have secularism, we have evolution. Those are all religions. Right. All we've done is exchange one religion for other religions. We're going to have a religion, and so the question we ought to be asking is, what religion has the best system of morality? What religion makes the most sense? What religion produces the best fruit? Those are the questions we ought to be asking, because ultimately, you start measuring religions, and there's no question, Christianity is the one that produces the best fruit. It's the one that produces the most life. It's the one that brings the most blessings and enjoyment and fulfillment to life. It's the one that works the most consistently. It's not even a comparison, but what we've done is if someone doesn't use the term or the label Christianity or a label of what we would recognize as a quote-unquote religion, then we think, well, then they're not religious. An atheist isn't religious. No, an atheist is very religious. Mm-hmm. They abide by their view and their doctrine and their philosophy, their worldview of life. It's just that they haven't put a title on it that maybe they're Baptist or they're Pentecostal or they're Evangelical or they're Methodist or they're Episcopal. Just because they don't have a title doesn't mean they don't follow their set of worldview beliefs, which is their religion.
Gentlemen, I've got to jump in here and revoke both of your freedoms of speech for just a moment, because we have to take a break. You're listening to Licensed to Parent. Our guest today is Tim Barton. Tim is with Wall Builders, a national pro-family organization that presents America's forgotten history and heroes. Their emphasis is on our religious, our moral, and our constitutional heritage. You can learn more about them at wallbuilders.com. Back with more conversation with our host, Trace Embry, and our guest, Tim Barton, when Licensed to Parent continues. It's difficult to see the light at the end of the tunnel when you're face-to-face with a teenager who argues with you at every turn. Maybe you and your teen can't talk to one another about anything without it getting complicated. For nearly two decades, Shepherd's Hill Academy has been bringing healing to teens and families from around the world. Up until now, that help has come through its residential treatment facility in North Georgia. But now, your family can benefit from that experience at home through Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching, designed to help you discern God's will for your family, build good communication skills, deal with defiant children, and more. Our family coaching team will work with you by phone, in your home, at work, even while you're on the road, to help your family develop a game plan to succeed. Sign up for Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching today by visiting LicensedToParent.org. Live the family life your family was designed for. Click on the family coaching banner at LicensedToParent.org. Teen rebellion, depression, addiction, rage, cutting, and suicide are destroying our families today. But there is a way out. Shepherd's Hill Academy offers a 12-month, Christ-centered, nonprofit residential program where kids are being transformed with a biblical worldview and often medication-free. Christian apologist Ravi Zacharias is just one of many Christian leaders who understands what's happening at Shepherd's Hill Academy.
It really is such an honor to come alongside Shepherd's Hill Ministries and Licensed to Parent to rescue those who have been seduced along the way. I cannot gainsay how important this is, and to get behind a ministry like this, one will find the rewards to be extremely powerful in changing society.
Get the help you need at Shepherd's Hill Academy. Go to helpmytroubledteen.org. helpmytroubledteen.org. Welcome back to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy with our host, Trace Embry. I'm Rich Rozell, and our guest today is Tim Barton of Wall Builders. We've been talking so far today about, the historical legacy of the Bible in the founding of this country. And incidentally, just as far as interest in history goes, this was not a religious book, a secular book by talk show host Rush Limbaugh. It was just voted Children's Book of the Year, his Rush Revere series. So apparently there is a hunger among young readers to find out about about our history and our legacy here.
Absolutely.
Tim, talk about civics. And Trace as well, you were bringing up the question during the break, Trace, of why civics is so important. So let's get into that.
Yeah. Tim, why is civics so important, and what can parents do to get our kids more interested in civic duties, and why are schools not teaching it anymore?
Sure. I think one of the answers to the civics question is really going back to even the history. The fact that Rush Limbaugh just received this award, these two books he has that are just flooding the market because kids love it. What he's done is he's told a story. And what history always had been was we would tell the stories about people. And so we would learn history in really a biographical sense. And today, we've taken away the stories, and now we just learn about names and dates and places. And so losing the story, history becomes pretty boring because we don't know the stories of these guys anymore. Mm-hmm. And when history gets boring, it's easy for civics to also become boring because we don't know the stories about the guys who did these things and set up the government they did and really handed the reins over to us, where in every other nation, when someone had a chance to be the leader and king, they did. And George Washington didn't. And he people wanted him to be the king and the ruler and go on forever. And he said, that's not me. I'm not going to do it. In fact, he limited himself to two terms. And he said, why did he do that? And this history story really ties into the civics, and it was because he wanted we the people to rule and be in charge. And what's happened in our society, we've become very complacent to let someone else rule and run our lives. We have been happy to give over our freedom as long as the government would do something for us. And you run and you do, and I don't even care, and all politicians are the same, and we don't even care who's in charge, but as long as I get my check, my stamps, as long as I get my assistance, I don't really care what happens. And we have become such an entitlement generation that we have forgotten the significance and the value of individual responsibility and partnership, where ultimately, we used to understand the people that are elected in office, they used to be called public servants. Mm-hmm. And the reason they were called public servants is because they worked for us. We chose people that were going to work for us. Every single elected official is our servant in the theory of what that position was established for. And now we have so removed it to where we think of politics, and really politicians think of themselves as being somebody above the people and that control the people and rule the people. And civics is really, our government has really shifted away from we the people ruling and operating, and those basic principles that even go back to the Declaration, where there's five premises set forth in the Declaration that we believe there was a God or a divine creator. This divine creator gave guaranteed unalienable rights to man, and government's job was to protect the rights that God gave us.
Yeah.
Well, now we have a government that people seem to think government's the one that gives us rights, and government controls those rights. But we understood from the very beginning in the formation of our nation, we explained in the Declaration, government's job is to protect those rights. And we explained in the Declaration that we believe in the laws of nature and nature's God, that God had established a fixed moral standard of right and wrong. And so God's already determined, saying, even if all the people decided, you know what, we think murder is acceptable, it's still going to be wrong because it goes against God's fixed moral standard. Government's job is to uphold the standards that God has put in place. And then below the standards, we have the consent of the governed. Well, this is the government that we laid out. But today, people don't understand civics. They don't understand how it fits into the story of history. And so really, it's become something that is boring. And man, we don't want to deal with that and do that and the credits we have to have to graduate. But it's because we've forgotten how to tell the story to help spark and intrigue this interest that this really is something that is fascinating, where it came from, how it got to us. We've been given one of the greatest treasures and blessings because nobody else has ever had the freedoms, the stability, the prosperity that we've had in America. But there is something that produced that stability, freedom, and prosperity. And if we don't know what it is, then we won't be able to maintain our freedom, stability, and prosperity. And that's why it's so important that we help this next generation get a vision for being engaged and being a part of preserving that.
Tim, this is great stuff, but we are running out of time. Would you be willing to stick around for another program?
You bet.
Excellent. Well, our guest today has been Tim Barton of Wall Builders, a national pro-family organization dedicated to presenting America's forgotten history and heroes, with an emphasis on the moral, the religious, and constitutional foundation on which America was built. That's a foundation which in recent years has been seriously attacked and undermined. You can learn more at their website, wallbuilders.com. And we are Licensed to Parent, dedicated to bringing biblical insight for today's culture. You know, there's a whole lot that parents have to navigate through today to raise godly children, and we hope to help you along the way with this radio program and with other resources that you'll find on our website, licensedtoparent.org. There you can hear archives of past programs, you can read Trace Embry's blog, and you can find out about our parent organization, Shepherd's Hill Academy. And right now we're offering you, for any size donation you make to support the work of Shepherd's Hill and Licensed to Parent, we will send you a free copy of the DVD Captivated, Finding Freedom in a Media Captive Culture. It was filmed in part right here at Shepherd's Hill Academy. That's with any gift by the end of July 2014. Simply visit licensedtoparent.org and click on the Donate button in the upper right-hand corner. That's licensedtoparent.org. On behalf of Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rosl, inviting you to join us again next time to renew your license to parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. We'll see you next time.